right, turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms and go to number 89, Psalm number 89 tonight. And we'll read verse 15 to get us started. Psalm number 89, I'll read verse 15. You can follow in your Bibles as I read that verse. The Bible says, "Blessed is the people that knoweth the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight as we gather together on a Wednesday night. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with this place to gather in, the Word of God to gather around, the fellowship of the saints to gather with. We thank you that you are here with us. You've promised that in your Word. You dwell in us and have sealed us until the day of redemption. And you've promised that where two or more are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you, Lord. Bless us today. As we look at the Word of God, I pray that by your Spirit, you would open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of every person to receive the Word of God, that you might glorify yourself, magnify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. This is message number 7 in our series on the Beatitudes of the Bible. The people of God have always been a happy and blessed people, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament or throughout modern history. Though the people of God have suffered persecution and plunder and pain down through the centuries, they have always had a source of joy that could not be explained or extinguished. The true and living God is an awesome being who provides for his people courage in the dark, comfort in despair, and cheerfulness in derision. When the Christian has his or her heart and eyes fixated on the mental and emotional resources of this world, they will succumb to the same discouragements and disillusionments as those who do not know God. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. The world walks by sight and not by faith. So if we're going to walk like them, then we're going to end up living like them. If we're going to walk like them, then we're going to have to end up having only what they have. When the child of God has his or her heart and eyes fixed on the Lord, then he can flood their minds with the illumination of his word and their hearts with the power of his spirit. That enables us to live a life that is unlivable apart from Christ. To have an attitude that is unattainable apart from Christ. Tonight's psalm is a testimony to the joy of victory. It says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." My first point tonight is this, the joyful sound. Now, why are they having such a joyful sound? What joyful sound are they talking about in verse 15? Well, look at verse 16. "In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." That's the joyfulness. They're not alone in the world, and they know it. And they do not have only their own meager machines and machinations as their defense and as their glory, and they know it. The word joyful sound comes from a Hebrew word, teruah, teruah. It means the blowing of trumpets, acclamation of joy, especially the clangor of trumpets. And so it has this idea of making a loud noise and blowing the trumpets and acclaiming victory. Verse 16, we can rejoice in our, not in our name, but in his name. Look what it says, "In thy name shall they rejoice all the day." Listen, everybody else will let you down, even yourself. How often have you let yourself down? But Jesus will never let you down. In verse 17, It is by the Lord's righteousness and favor that we are exalted. Verse 16, the righteousness exalts us. Verse 17, it says His favor exalts us. That phrase, our horn shall be exalted, speaks of power. The horn is a symbol of power. And they're saying here that it is the power of God that exalts us. It is the righteousness of God that exalts us. That word exalted means raised up or held up. It's the righteousness of God and the power of God that raises us up and holds us up. In verse 18, because it is the Lord's strength that goes for ours and His defense that keeps us safe. And so these people, they are joyful and happy. Why? Because they have God and they know it. They have His strength and they know it. They have His defense and they know it. They know that joyful sound of victory because of who their king is. The psalmist is specifically referring to the trumpet sound of victory. And what a joyful sound that is. In Psalm 5:11, the Bible says, "But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee." You see, all this joy was associated with the defense of God, that God was their defender. Now we can shout for joy because God's our defender, right? He's your Father. If you know Jesus is your Savior, then God the Father is your Father. He is your defender. He is your keeper. How much joy can the worldling have if he or she is uncertain in the world? Is their victory a happenstance? Or was it good luck? Or maybe their victory was just karma? Or maybe it was a coincidence? Or maybe their victory was a blip in the space-time continuum? And how long will it last? And when will it change? For the unsaved, life is uncertain at best. The Bible says we know not what shall be on the morrow. Nobody does. They not only do not know what's on the morrow, they're going into tomorrow all by themselves. They have to face whatever comes all by themselves. They have no one really to rest in and depend on as their defender except themselves. And they know the weakness of themselves. So that brings a lot of uncertainty, doesn't it? In Psalm 47, verse 5, it says, God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. This is referring to the trumpet sound for advance and the shout of charge. And it says that God has gone up with a shout and God has set the trumpet. It is He that goes up before us into battle and secures the victory for us. That's what Israel knew. That's why they were a blessed people. Because they knew that way back, even if you'd go back to as they were traveling through the wilderness, when God moved, they moved. And He said, when they went into the promised land, He told them, I'll go before you, and I will chase them out, little by little. They knew they had a defender. They knew they had a leader. They knew they had a protector greater than themselves, greater than all selves put together. No wonder they were happy. When a believer can approach life with this knowledge and confidence, there comes a joy that is otherwise unattainable. For the Christian, we know the joyful sound of victory over sin. For the Christian, we know the joyful sound of victory over the grave. For the Christian, we know the joyful sound of victory over the world and victory over hell, right? Those are victory shouts. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, the Bible says, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:37, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So we're overcomers. We're victors. We're conquerors. How? In our own strength? No, in his strength. In our own righteousness? No, in his righteousness. Blessed is the man or woman who has heard the joyful sound of thy sins be forgiven thee. Boy, that's a joyful sound, isn't it? Blessed is the man or woman who has heard the joyful sound of I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Blessed is the man or woman who will hear the joyful sound of well done, thou good and faithful servant. There is a happiness and a blessedness and a joyfulness that only the blood-bought, born-again child of God can know or experience. And so we have this joyful sound. But number two, I want you to go with me to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to tie these things together. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Not only is there a joyful sound, but I want you to see a shout. There's a shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These are great words of comfort in any age. We know he's coming. And it could be today. Could be tonight. We know that everything in this world is temporary. And we know that everything of this world and in this world could change or cease today. We know the truth of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. He says, look, what comforting words these are. When life starts to beat you down, when people pass away, we have these comforting words. He said, comfort one another with these words. This word shout, I want you to look at this in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Who is shouting? The Lord Jesus himself is shouting. Look what it says. For the Lord himself, he's not sending an angel after you. When he comes to get the church, he's not sending an entourage. He's not sending a representative. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So it is the Lord Jesus who is shouting. Now, remember what it said in Psalm 47, verse 5? God has gone up with a shout. That's a picture of this. God has gone up. The Lord Jesus will rise from his throne with a great shout and descend from heaven to come and get us to take us home. This shout will be heard worldwide, if not by the entire planet, its population, at least by those who are redeemed. Now, I want to believe that every being on planet Earth is going to hear it. That's what I want to believe. The reason I want to believe that is because I read in 2 Samuel 22:14, the Lord thundered from heaven and the Most High uttered his voice. In Revelation 4:5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Revelation 1:15, and his feet, talking about Jesus, and his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So whenever we hear anything connected with the voice of God, these words are used, thunderings and many waters, like the roaring of the waves. We're not talking about sitting on the Gulf of Mexico and hearing the little lap of the waves lapping on the beach. No, this is the sound of many waters, of roaring waves crashing against the sides of the rocks and the beaches and making great and loud noises. That's what the voice of God. The only thing that human beings could liken the voice of God to is thunder and many waters. There was a lady who visited with us a long time ago, years and years ago. She was from California. They got earthquakes in California. But they don't have thunder. At least that's what she said. And we get some thunderstorms around here, don't we? I love those. The louder and the deeper it is, the better I like it. I mean, if my house shakes, I'm saying amen. I just like that thunder. Well, we had one of those thunder bangers one night, and she was terrified. She didn't sleep all night. She told us the next day, she said, I was absolutely terrified last night. We said, why? That thunder. I've never heard anything like that. I was so scared. It's just noise. They get earthquakes that tear your house apart. And she said, I was more afraid of hearing that thunder than I was going through an earthquake. Isn't that amazing? We take that thunder for granted, but people who never heard it, it's scary stuff. And that's nothing compared to the voice of God. That's the shout. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus gets up off the throne and shouts, there's no shout like it. The whole earth will reverberate with this shout. And I want to believe that every person on earth will hear it. Now, they won't know what it is, but we will. Because blessed is the people who know the joyful sound. I believe even the deaf shall hear, for they shall feel the powerful vibration of his shout. There will be no mistaking it for the believer. No believer will think, what is it? Is it an earthquake? No believer will wonder, what is it, a thunderstorm? No, we will know instantaneously this is the shout of God going up. He's getting up to come and get us. And then it says, not only that, but there's going to be the voice of the archangel. Now that word archangel means the chief angel. That means the number one angel. And this word, voice of the archangel, speaks of an acclamation of joy. I mean, this archangel, he realizes it's time. The Bible says that the angels of heaven inquire into our salvation. We are an enigma to them, if I can say that way. They're looking at us and saying, why would you ever die for them? Why would you ever become one of them? And they're waiting for Jesus to come back. They know he's coming back as much as we know he's coming back. And this angel, I don't know what he's saying, but it's his voice. He's acclaiming the coming of Jesus Christ. It's like he's saying, let's go and bring the Lord's bride to the wedding feast. This will be the joyful sound. This will be the teruah. Acclamation and shout of joy. And whose shout of joy? It's the Lord's. For he has the joy of receiving his redeemed. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we know that this joyful sound is the shout of acclamation of the archangel and the shout of joy for the Lord Jesus, because the joy that he saw that enabled him to endure the cross was the salvation of the lost, was his church, his bride, the redeemed of all the ages. And now he's finally going to be able to bring them all home. What a shout. That's the joyful sound. Now listen to Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. We will be blessed beyond measure when we hear His shout and He comes for us. The lost will hear the shout, but they will not know the shout. You see, for us, us who are saved, this thundering and this crashing, this great shout will be a joyful sound. But for the lost, it'll be a dreadful sound. Just as the Bible says, to some were the savor of life unto life, and to others were the savor of death unto death. Well, every time we give the gospel, there's an opportunity for us to be the savor of life unto life if they would trust Christ as their Savior. Or the opportunity for us to be the savor of death unto death, because now death, who rejects Christ, will experience the second death. But if they trust Christ, life will turn into eternal life. And so this joyful sound to us will be a dreadful sound to all the lost upon the earth. And so we have this joyful sound comprised of a shout. But I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for the third point tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start reading at verse 51. The third point is this, the trumpet. Paul the Apostle, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now this word sleep referring to physical death. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" We're talking about a victory here, aren't we? The death has no victory over us. The grave has no victory over us. The sting of death is sin. Sin has no victory over us. And the strength of sin is the law. The law has no victory over us. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The teruah is a shout. That would be the shout of the Lord. This word teruah means acclamation of joy and victory. That would be the voice of the archangel. This teruah also means a blowing of the trumpet. Now this trumpet that's mentioned here is also mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. A trumpet of victory. Let me read this to you. "In the heat of a losing battle, Alexander the Great recognized the situation for what it was. He decided his army needed to disengage and retreat. And calling to his trumpet master, Alexander gave the order, 'Sound the trumpet of retreat.' Then Alexander went back out to the battlefield himself, where he was known to fight right alongside his soldiers. Back in those days, there were no radios or satellites. The only way to get a message to the entire army during the battle was by some signal the army knew how to interpret. Alexander's army was trained to know each trumpet signal by sound. Alexander had decided this time to retreat and live to fight another day. But minutes had gone by, and the trumpet hadn't yet sounded. Alexander made his way back to the trumpeter's area again and again commanded the retreat trumpet to be played. After a few more minutes of fighting and his army losing more ground, Alexander was vexed to still not hear the signal playing. Alexander came back to the trumpeters again and demanded an explanation. He had given him command. Why had it not been followed? The trumpeter finally admitted to the source of his disobedience. He had neglected to bring the trumpet of retreat. The trumpeter had grown used to only using the trumpet of victory. So he sounded the only trumpet he had, the trumpet of victory. Alexander took the only option he had. And he said to the trumpeter, well then, sound the trumpet of victory. And Alexander's army, meanwhile, was ignorant of any of this conversation or the big picture situation of the battle. Each soldier could only see what was in front of him. And upon hearing the trumpet of victory sound, the soldiers did what they had been trained to do, give one last push needed to finish off the enemy and win another battle, which is exactly what happened. You see, the trumpeter had different trumpets. There's a trumpet to get up. There's a trumpet to go to sleep. There's a trumpet for retreat. There's a trumpet for advance. There's a trumpet for victory. The trumpet in 1 Corinthians and the trumpet in 1 Thessalonians is the trumpet of victory. The last trump is what it's called. Now, if we wanted to get philosophical and political, we could say that Jesus is going to come before President Trump finishes his second 4 years in office, because he'll be the last Trump. So I'm looking forward to that, amen? Maybe, I hope he doesn't even win again if he's the last Trump. But anyway. But if you think about it, in a battle, the victory trumpet is the last trump you hear. It's the last trump that's played, right? Because you don't want to retreat. You don't want to advance. You don't need to stop. You just, we won. And I want you to notice what it's called here. It's called the trump of God. The trump of God will be the victory trump over the grave. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Now there are others who blow trumpets, both of men and angels. But this is said to be the trump of God. Does God blow it himself, or does he have another creature blow it for him? I happen to believe that the Lord Jesus descends himself. I happen to believe three things are going to take place when Jesus comes back. Number one, the Son of God shouts. Number two, the archangel acclaims with his voice the Lord's coming. And number three, God the Father blows the trumpet of victory. Now you can disagree with me, and that's okay. You can apologize to me when it happens. All right? You can tell me I was right then. This joyful sound of the trump of God will be heard and known by both the living and the dead. This is the first thing the dead are going to hear. Think about that. Their bodies have been laying in the ground. They've probably rotted away or been eaten away or however that happens. But the remains, whatever remains are remaining, are going to hear the trump. Dead people. We'll hear the trump of God. It's the only trumpet they'll ever hear. Because they're dead. And it says here, it'll be that the dead in Christ shall rise. The dead in Christ shall rise. But the dead without Christ will hear it and have to stay in their graves. And again, what's a joyful sound for us who know Christ will be a dreadful sound to those who do not. For those of us who know Christ, it signals our resurrection and departure from earth to heaven to ever be with the Lord. But for those who know not Christ, it signals their impending judgment and eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Look what it says in verse 56 of 1 Corinthians 15. The sting of death is what? Sin. That's what makes physical death so terrible, because sin consigns us to the second death. The sting of death. If there was no sin, well, first of all, there'd be no death. But let's just imagine if there was death without sin, there'd be no sting. But that's been removed by the blood of Christ. The next thing it says in verse 30 is this. And the strength of sin is the what? Is the law. So the law won't let you get away. The sting of death is sin. Sin makes death a terrible thing. And you can't get away from your sin because the law strengthens the sin. The law won't let you get away. No wonder the Bible says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit entered chapter 15 with verse 58. Look what it says. Therefore, my beloved, because of all the things that we heard about in verses 51 through 57, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. These are they who will love his appearing. People in verse 58 are the ones who will love his appearing. Christian, how can you say you love his appearing if you're not living as though he's going to appear? If we knew Jesus was coming in 10 minutes, we'll be looking for him. And if somebody came in here and said, hey, I've got some booze, why don't we have them? No, Jesus is coming in 10 minutes. We're not going to do that. Well, here, why don't you look at, no, I'm not looking at that. Why? Jesus is coming in 10 minutes. And there could be a whole host of things that we would surely turn away from because we knew Jesus was coming in 10 minutes. He may be coming in 10 minutes. He could be coming in 1 minute. I don't know. But how can we say we're loving his appearing if we're not living in expectation of his appearing? Our lifestyles tell who or what we truly love. Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? Well, that'll tell you who you love. And what about those who love his appearing? I'm coming. I could be coming at any minute now. This life, the Bible says, is a vapor that vanishes away. And it only appears for how long? A little time. Listen, I've pastored now for 36 years. It's poof. My 36 years of ministry are poof. We've been in this building for 17 years. It's like poof. 3/4 of my life have been lived already. And it's poof. I mean, I was born yesterday. And I'm already this old. How'd that happen? No matter how long it is till Jesus comes, it will still seem like poof, there he is. What can be so important or so alluring or so intriguing or so pleasurable that I should rather have to do it than be confident at his coming and desire it above all else? What do you desire more than the coming of Jesus? That's your idol. You understand? I'm going to get married. You want Jesus to wait so you can get married? I don't. I don't care if you get married or not. I want Jesus to come. Amen? Well, I want to go on a great vacation. You're going to ask Jesus to come for a vacation? You're going to ask Jesus to come for what? What are you going to ask him to wait for? That's your idol. You see, life is grand, but he is grandeur. Whatever you do and whatever you deny yourself and whatever hardships you experience for being steadfast, this verse says it won't be in vain. There's a hymn that says this, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Do you? Will you? Let's pray. Let's bow our heads just for a moment as we ask a couple questions for you to ponder. I want to ask those of you tonight that are saved, you're here, you're watching, you're listening, you're saved, you're born again. That's wonderful. And we know the joyful sound. And we'll know the joyful sound of come up hither. So are you living in light of His soon return? Or does your heart hope for a delay? Does your lifestyle say, even so, come Lord Jesus? Or does your lifestyle say, wait, wait just a little bit longer? Only you can answer that. Maybe you're here tonight or watching or listening, you've never been saved. You know, when that day comes, His shout and His trumpet will not be to you a joyful sound, but a dreadful sound, because it will seal your fate. Eternity in the lake of fire for the just punishment of your sin, because you would not accept the payment Jesus made for you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now remember, He said, I am the life. Now listen to Revelation chapter 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:27 says this about heaven. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and received the free gift of eternal life, your name is not in the Lamb's book of life. It will not be found there. And you'll spend eternity in a place called hell because you would not receive the payment Jesus made for you. But if you'll trust Him as your Savior, He says, I'll give unto you eternal life, and you'll never perish. And the Bible says in Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? My friend, you'll never escape without Christ. He's the way. He's the life. Do you need to trust Him tonight? Do you need to ask Him to be your Savior? You say, preacher, I need to ask Christ to be my Savior tonight. I know it, and I'm not going to put it off anymore. Would you lift your hand up and say, I'm here. I'm here tonight, and I want you to know I'm not saved. I don't care who knows it. I know it, and God knows it. And preacher, if you'd pray for me, I'd like that. Anybody like that here tonight? Father, we thank You for Your love and kindness in sending a Savior. Lord, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Lord, we're looking and longing for that sound, the joyful shout, the joyful trumpet, the joyful voice of the archangel. And Lord, one day that joyful sound will split the sky and fall upon our ears, and we'll come home. I pray it help us to live in light of that. Help us be prepared for our homecoming. I pray You'd guide and direct in the invitation. We'll give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a closing hymn, 541. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Why don't you come? Maybe you need to trust Him with something. Maybe you need to trust Him about something or someone. Maybe you just need to come tonight and say, Lord, there's some changes I need to make to be living in light of Your coming. Maybe there's something tonight that God showed you that you're saying, Lord, I'd like to do that. Would You wait for a little while so I can have that, so I can do that, so I can go there, so I can experience that? And you realize that's your idol tonight. Why don't you come talk to Him about it? He already knows. He just wants you to be honest and talk with Him. We're going to sing. You can do whatever you need to do. But if you need to be saved, you come and see me, all right, on the first.